Let's move on to another clinical situation. So now we have a 60-year-old patient who has deletion 17p who requires treatment. It looks like the majority would choose a BTK inhibitor in that situation, either ibrutinib alone or ibrutinib in combination with obinutuzumab. A few folks would choose venetoclax and rituximab. Dr. Weerde, how would you approach this particular type of patient?
So the patient, again, is relatively young. They have a 17p deletion. 17p deletion was a very high-risk feature when we were using chemoimmunotherapy. Although we have very effective treatments now with the targeted therapy, they're still higher risk than the non-17p or mutated TP53 population, which means they have a shorter progression-free survival, and they will likely fail whatever treatment you're giving them sooner than they would if they didn't have a 17p. So for a 60-year-old, I'm thinking long-term, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to use, what's the sequence going to be, and perhaps transplant down the line may be an option. So for a 60-year-old with 17p deletion, my preference would be to give ibrutinib or a BTK inhibitor-based therapy. We have longer follow-up data with the BTK inhibitors in that setting than with the BCL2 small molecule inhibitors. I would expect to have several years of progression-free survival with ibrutinib-based therapy. And that allows me to use down the line venetoclax as a salvage treatment in this type of patient. And the reason why that's appealing to me is that I'm thinking, well, maybe transplant is a reasonable option down the line, and I like the option of venetoclax, which is very effective at debulking the disease in preparation for transplant. So I think the long-term view for this type of patient is an important view, and thinking about how you're going to sequence them for this particular type of patient is important.
And Dr. Brown, how do you choose between BTK inhibitors in this particular situation or in general in the front line?
So I agree very much with Bill's approach to the patient. You know, I have been tending to use a little more acalabrutinib off-label just based on what my experience has been of improved tolerability. In a 60-year-old, I don't think it matters that much, but as the patients get older, we had the 75-year-old patient, there you see a lot more cardiac toxicity. So as the patients get older, I would veer more toward the acalabrutinib. But for this patient, it's not. Obviously, if the patient has comorbidities that include, you know, need for ongoing anticoagulation, pre-existing atrial fibrillation, pre-existing cardiac disease, bleeding diathesis, those would be specific reasons why you might choose acalabrutinib up front.